Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It is Monday, October 19th. We just finished watching this edition of Raw, and you are tuned into the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. If this is your first time tuning in, we don't call ourselves the most interactive post-Raw experience available for no good goddamn reason. We invite you to join in all throughout this night. We have a phone line you can dial into. If you see that number at the top of the page, you can go ahead and get yourself in line. It's 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype by hitting the Skype icon there. We also got the chat room opened up on our Blog Talk Radio page. I was a little late getting it open, so if you're listening in and you didn't see the chat room, try refreshing the page. You should see the chat room pop up. I see Wazili in there. What's shaking, Wazili? Also, we will invite you to join us via Twitter at Raw Post Show, the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs, all throughout the night. We want to know your comments about tonight's Raw, any questions you got for us that you want to give us a topic to talk about. And it's the last Raw heading into Hell in a Cell. So if you got some thoughts about Hell in a Cell, feel free to include those as well. And frankly, big night tonight. Final Star Wars trailer was revealed, and there's a lot of people with that on their mind. And with that being said, that is why we are absent some folks. Tony Mango is not with us, but with us, well, I don't know if you are still here. Wago, you here?
I'm here, but my connection does not want to stay around today, so hopefully this goes well.
Well, neither did anybody who was watching Raw tonight, because if I was looking at the quick results here, it looks like a lot of people have been upset with this show tonight. Mr. Steven Wago, I always ask you what the number one thing you took away. How did you feel about this show tonight?
Oh, I thought the show was overall just a really good show. There was a couple of low points, which I'll attribute to certain Diva members. But overall, the show, they brought out everybody. They brought out Stone Cold, The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, Ric Flair, if you actually like him. It's bad that I say that, but it's just become
you're one just of those hating the whole Flair family.
Yeah, well, they're not giving me much to like write home about. They brought out everybody tonight, and there was a lot of good wrestling. There was a lot of fun moments, and shit, they gave us a Shield reunion of somewhat. So I don't know why people are complaining about this. If you could not find something to like tonight, then I don't know what the issue is, because if I take one thing away tonight, it's variety.
It looks like Wazili found something he liked on tonight's show.
Oh, yeah?
If it was in the chat room, we'll see what I'm saying. That's why you got to be in the chat room. There's always other things going on just besides what we're talking about here. I got to agree with you, though, Wago. I thought tonight's show was a lot of fun. They brought out every single ace that they had in their hand to try to make this a big show. Why that is, I can think of a few reasons. One, their ratings lately have been abysmal, so you have to imagine they're trying to get that up. They were in Dallas, Texas, which is the site of next year's WrestleMania, so they certainly want to get that crowd left with a very good impression. And, I don't know. Also, just every once in a while, it's good to have one of these big shows. It is the go-home show to a pay-per-view, so if you're going to do it, this is a good time to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And it finally felt like they were promoting the main event of tonight. And we always talk about, does this feel like a go-home show? And we always talk about, did this get you excited for pay-per-view A, B, C? And tonight, it actually got me somewhat pumped for Hell in a Cell. And it's very rare that they do that. So I don't know if Hell in a Cell is going to live up to it. You can find out more about that by going to smartcatmoment.com. But shit, they put their best foot forward. So I don't know what anyone can say.
Yeah, so I mean, I want to know what everyone out there listening with us in our chat room, coming in the phone lines, what you think about it. I want to see some variety of opinions because, as I said, I was looking around on the internet trolling spots, and I saw lots of people very upset. And I think maybe people might just be in a habit of hating on Raws as they have the last few weeks, and some of it's been warranted over those past few weeks. But tonight, I don't think so. So with that said, let's talk about tonight. And I think if there's one thing that we have to start right off, it's what Raw ended with. The main event on tonight's show was The Shield reuniting for one night only to go against the Wyatt family, who also had a bit of a refresher in their lineup with a returning Eric Rowan. And the way they did that was so weird. It was Roman Reigns came out and sat in a chair and called out Bray Wyatt. And when he appeared, he was just there with two of his big lackeys behind him. And you know, lately that's been Strowman and Luke Harper. But this time it was Strowman and a big guy in a white sheet mask. Well, obviously we knew who that was going to be. It was Eric Rowan. The mask came off. They attacked. So, Wago, what do you think about Eric Rowan being back?
It was definitely an odd way to bring him back, but I'm glad they brought him back into the fold, because when they had that mystery partner for Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, we were all cracking up at the idea that, shit, it might be Eric Rowan, and then the rumors started swirling around too. So if that keeps him out of that spot or having another dud babyface turn, I'm fine with it. And he's not given enough credit. The guy is a solid hand. He's by no means great. And if
I wish they gave him a new outfit.
Same. If this bolsters the rank of the Wyatt family, then great. The more numbers on his side, the better. He's a heel. It's what he does. And everyone looks the part. I love this stable.
I can just imagine the sight of him, you know, down on his knees with his arms out as he does, doing the follow the buzzards pose with all three of them standing around him, his back of him. That would be an impressive sight. And if they can continue growing it, I mean, we've had rumors of Leo Kruger and even Bo Dallas joining it. You had those two guys sticking at the ends. That is a force to be reckoned with if they really want to go balls to the wall with the Wyatt family.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, if once this feud goes down, and I think the conclusion is that Roman Reigns wins at the end of the day, give Bray Wyatt something to do by building his cult fervor and building something towards WrestleMania. But yeah, going back on topic, very weird way to bring Eric Rowan in, but...
Yeah, I can't stand when people just kind of, like, return out of nowhere with no explanation. Oh, that's Time Cow telling us that we got a comment in the chat room here. Silent Wounded Doom is saying, I missed a lot of stuff, enjoyed what I saw. So there's a positive note in that. Wazili saying if they did that, that would be the Wyatt World Order. I'm not saying get to that level, all right? I'm not saying bring back Virgil and give him a role in the Wyatt family, although that actually might be interesting.
You know what, though? If you asked him to, he'd come back. The bastard needs the paycheck.
He needs that fuck money. If you are not following Virgil on Twitter, I highly suggest that that is one of the people you add to your followed lists.
I mean, how else are you going to know about hashtag fuck money?
So this all led to our main event, Shield, consisting of the original Shield members, or the only Shield members, I guess, Seth Rollins joining Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Seth Rollins was baited in by Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels was messing with him all night and played his Shawn Michaels tricks, convincing Seth Rollins to talk himself. And no, I'm good enough. I'm the best champ here. I could absolutely join this team and go out there with five other world-class athletes and stick out as the champ. And, he went out there and he did the typical thing that a heel would do with their team and jump off of the apron just as Dean Ambrose was going for the tag. I feel like we've seen this before.
We've definitely seen it before. They've done this quite a few times, especially with Kevin Owens, Rusev, and whoever else was in that mix at the time. But it made perfect sense for Seth Rollins to do it because...
No, I mean specifically Seth Rollins. Didn't they do this when they were first teasing the Shield breakup? Seth Rollins like jumped down from the ring apron. I'm pretty sure it was against the Wyatt family in that match.
It could have been, but I can't say for sure, but I'm glad that they did it here because everyone actually got really pumped for the Shield reunion, and I think that's why...
Oh my goodness, the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome," before the bell even rang.
Mm-hmm. So what's the best thing to do in that situation? Take it away from them.
Blue balls.
Yeah, fucking perfect. As far as Shawn Michaels and Seth Rollins' interactions in the ring, as soon as I saw them, I'd like... God damn, I wish this was a match. Shawn was a little rusty tonight when he first got on the mic, but
Did you talk about, like, eating somebody's pizza or some shit?
Yeah, I was confused as shit. It's like, sorry, I was choking on some pizza. Thanks for that pizza, though. But I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, Sean?
He's starting to get to, like, kooky old man territory.
Uh-huh, yeah, he's like, every time he's come back, he's missing a beat on the promo, and I don't know if he just doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Or well, shit, at least he put on clean boots this time.
Shit, you're right about that. So, I enjoyed their interactions, but there was definitely a little bit of bizarreness on Shawn Michaels' part tonight.
What about the match? I have to say, I thought this was an incredibly fun match. Lots of cool moments throughout it. I have to say my favorite was that Roman Reigns leaping over the top rope onto the pool of guys on the outside. Holy shit, the air that guy got.
What we always used to, like, what we've always talked about, is Attitude Era finishes to like shows. We're always chaotic and mad. That's what we got tonight. And very much it felt like a 90s show tonight. And that I love it when they just go off air in the midst of chaos and it isn't just a pinfall finish with a celebration. That's what you need when you're going into Hell in a Cell. And I think this is the first time in a long time that the Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt feud has really picked up, because it was losing a lot of steam. Solid match, a lot of fun. Don't know why people are complaining.
I think the problem is that it got lost with all these other ancillary characters in it. And funny enough, it took this six-man tag with Seth Rollins and the return of Eric Rowan to really make it come back to being what it's supposed to be about, and that's Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. They've really been focusing it back to them the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and in all fairness, there were a lot of moving pieces, but I think they did a good job of telling every story.
And impressive that this was what closed the show. Because, you know, we're having two Hell in a Cell matches. Of course, the other one being Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. It's very cool that they're giving this that focus. And they brought up a good point when they were starting this match. They talked about how this is the first time both of them are going into Hell in a Cell. And it's like, wow, this is like a fresh Hell in a Cell match that actually has some, like, heat behind it. It's refreshing.
I'm glad that they had Roman Reigns closing the show. Because at the end of the day, Hell in a Cell between The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar does sell itself. People don't need to buy, like, people don't need to be educated into believing that's a blood feud. They already know that. Ending the show with Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt is the best option, because you put the focus on that feud, which needed it. And most of all, you're putting a focus on your future investments in Roman Reigns.
Dallas loved Roman tonight.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get more crowds like this in Roman Reigns' favor, because I'll say it, and I know people don't like it. The guy is fucking good. The guy is great. And he is going to be your future, so get fucking used to it.
I think people are starting to subside a lot on that. And it's a very good sign that they loved him that much in Dallas, site of next year's WrestleMania. Of course, you get people from all over the world at WrestleMania, but a still good chunk of that is the hometown area. So it's good that he's over in Texas.
Just keep him the fuck away from the Royal Rumble and you'll be fine.
I don't think it's safe for anybody to win the Royal Rumble anymore that isn't Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I know.
And goddamn if he's not back in time, because it...
You know what? He'll return to lose and sabotage the winner again.
Mischievous Daniel Bryan.
They need to give it him just so people shut the fuck up.
I mean, I was there in the crowd that night in Philadelphia when Roman Reigns won and Daniel Bryan got eliminated, and it was just... I couldn't believe how much that crowd hated Roman Reigns for no good goddamn reason.
When you've got The Rock going out there going, come on, guys, guys. You know it's bad.
Gosh. So, in my opinion, this has got to be, I don't know if the best, but top three Raw main events we've had this year.
I'm trying to think what other great Raw main events we've had, so I'm definitely going to go ahead and say yes. Odd because it was... such like a chaotic multi-man tag. Normally we bitch and moan about these six-man tags, but if there was a time to do it, tonight was the one.
I'll just go ahead and throw out that, you know, some of those John Cena U.S. Open challenges have been the main events.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, just, regardless if they're not the last match, they've been the main event. So,
yeah, fair enough. Him and Cesaro had a fucking hell of a main event, so I'd probably put that as the winner this year so far, but it's up for debate.
Indeed. Well, we want to know what all y'all out there got to think about the Shield reunion against the Wyatt family tonight. It's 2013 all over again on Raw. We visited a lot of years throughout the show. We had a lot of nostalgia, old characters showing up. It's not right to call them old, but It's what a lot of them are. I mean, as you were saying, when I first asked you at the beginning of the show, we had Ric Flair, we had Shawn Michaels, we had Stone Cold Steve Austin, even Undertaker decided to come out, you know, promote that match that he has on Sunday.
Oh, by the way, he still hadn't shaved himself. Like, he still got that awkward peach fuzz all over his body.
No, at least, oh, that's right, he did take the jacket off. Mm-hmm. He was trying to show how serious he was. That was his version of the straps down. Undertaker taking the jacket off. Yeah, Flair is really old. Flair has been old since, like, 1997.
It's funny, because back when I used to watch wrestling as a teenager, my mom and dad might walk in, they'd go, oh, wow, Ric Flair's still wrestling? And now he's still on television, like, barely moving.
And it's funny, like, he's got, like, a kid that's really just starting to get out. But yet, I remember when I was little, I watched one of his kids trying to break out.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Yeah, well, it's not going so well for Charlotte. let's talk about some of these celebrities that we had on with celebrities. Stars of the past, we'll call them. We had Stone Cold at the start of the show. Lots of rumors have been circulating for quite some time, whether Stone Cold was going to be on this, whether he wasn't. A lot of people were assuming because he had his podcast that he would be there. But then again, all the other nights he's had podcasts, he never actually made an appearance. It's been 4 years since we've seen him. He straight out denounced any rumors that he was going to be on the show on his Twitter. We would come to find out that that was a lie. Show started off before Michael Cole even welcomed us. The glass broke. Stone Cold came out and the crowd went absolutely fucking bananas.
I think he went so far as to call it bullshit reporting. And it was great. It was a fucking hell of a moment. But part of me is like, well, if the cat's out of the bag already, don't you kind of want to let those rumors leak just so you get the high rating? Then again, it's always nice to have a surprise, so I can see the argument for both sides of it.
You leave it in question, you know, I mean, I think, like, people are like, yeah, okay, we know you're going to be there, but still leave a little bit of doubt, you know, that's something I just miss in wrestling so much, is those surprises and that air of doubt. So every once in a while when you can get something that's a good surprise, it was very well done. The only thing that's disappointing is what we got of Stone Cold. He honestly came out and talked for maybe like 45 seconds, and he's pretty much like, hey, I'm Stone Cold, I'm doing the podcast later, WrestleMania's coming next year, woo, here's Undertaker.
I was very underwhelmed by that. The fact that he's got a podcast with Brock Lesnar later on in that evening, and the last time that he had any interaction with Paul Heyman and Brock, it was very tense. You'd think you'd build that up before the cameras were on for tonight's podcast.
And I really wonder what's going on with that. And yeah, I hope I don't want to steer people away to go to the WWE Network to watch that interview. I am certainly going to be watching it ASAP because I expecting something interesting to go down. You know, they keep saying this whole thing about Stone Cold coming back for a match is bullshit. I mean, you're talking to the guy that you teased a match with in Dallas, the site of next year's WrestleMania.
And you know what? He denounced like any rumors of him returning, mm-hmm. But he kind of just blew his word tonight, didn't he?
Yeah. So maybe it will be nothing. But let's just say if there is going to be something, tonight's the night to do it.
And just so everyone knows, there's no reason to tune away now because it'll be on demand on the WWE Network.
Indeed. Yeah. Good point. So let's see who we got going in the chat room here. Silent One to Doom asks, who's older, Ric Flair or Terry Funk?
I'm sure Funk feels older.
Funk, I'm almost certain that Funk is actually like 10 or 15 years younger, but he looks like 30 years older.
That guy has been through the fucking war zone time and time again. I think he's had more retirements than anybody in the business, too.
And he's still going, isn't he?
He's 71.
Yeah, is he still going?
He might be still going. I wouldn't be surprised. Oh shit, I just searched Terry Funk and there's a headline about him getting into a brawl.
Like a bar brawl?
Terry Funk involved in concession stand beatdown last night.
Oh, are you sure that wasn't just another one of his matches with Jerry Lawler? Maybe. He used to have those every week.
Okay, I think it's a gimmick. It's not a real headline. All right.
Oh, is this like one of those kayfabe news articles?
Yeah, so to answer your question, yes, he still is going.
Oh, shit. Jesus Christ, Terry. Come on, man.
Give up.
Get it, like, don't you have a ranch you can, like, run? Tell one to Doom also asks, is everyone really gone because they swooned too hard over the Star Wars trailer? I really just don't think anybody watched Raw tonight. I think people have gotten fed up with the bad Raws last few weeks, and they had enough distractions, whether it was the Star Wars trailer, plus trying to get tickets for the Star Wars release night, which has been a whole mess that can be talked about. A bunch of websites have gone down. People had football to watch. I think there was a season premiere for some show tonight.
There was a lot going on tonight, and in fairness, WWE counted in a very good way. However, when you've been building this up for weeks, like building your pay-per-views up for weeks and weeks and weeks and just failing to deliver, the viewership just goes away. So when you finally do bring out the big guns, no one's there to see them.
Yeah. Well, as I said, we spent more time talking about Stone Cold than he actually was on the fucking show. He invites out Undertaker, who also doesn't have too much to say, before he gets interrupted by Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman coming out. I'm starting to buy into what Tony's saying about Paul Heyman kind of doing the same shtick every week. Or maybe he was just off this week. I don't know, but I was not feeling what Paul Heyman was doing this week. Undertaker baits Brock Lesnar into the ring by taking off his jacket. I guess his hairy chest is supposed to attract Brock Lesnar in. I don't know. Brock Lesnar teases by leaping onto the apron that he's going to get in, but of course walks off smiling, leaving Undertaker to do that little thing where he puts his thumb against his neck.
What I will say about this, I'm glad this promo took place in Dallas and not a Smart Mark place, because I don't know how the fans are going to treat Undertaker anymore in those areas, just because of the way this feud's played out. He got the pop that he needed. There weren't any obnoxious what chants. This is one of those segments that could have been ruined by the wrong crowd, but instead you just got your old school babyface pop and heel boo.
I definitely would have expected like a boring chant if this was in Chicago or something, because it was very like slow conversation, especially when Undertaker was talking.
But it needed to be. It shouldn't have been a fast paced conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that it took place where it did. As for Paul Heyman and his shtick goes, his last few promos, excluding the one, I think it was either in Brooklyn or it might have been for the Japanese show, Paul Heyman could have really good promo then. But outside of that, he's been very much just following a formula.
I remember there was a few weeks where he was just like producing unique gold, where he did like that one thing where he broke into Yiddish and then he had that glory, glory Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he was fucking going insane during some of these promos, and his veins were bulging out of his head. It was great stuff, but perhaps babyface Paul Heyman is very much that one weakness that we've always wondered if Heyman has.
He was good tonight, and after his promo, though, Silent Doom is pointing out when he was doing, he's in your head! He's in your, oh god, Brock, no! No, not now! He was good doing all that.
Definitely the mannerisms between him and Brock Lesnar very much make that duo.
If you ever like pay attention, notice that he never touches Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
He's very careful. Like, he'll put his hands like trying to get his attention in front of him. He's smart. He never lays his hands on Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, like they very much like the body language and the story that they tell between those two. They're easily my favorite manager and wrestler duo.
So that's our builds. You excited for Brock Lesnar and Undertaker?
I am more excited than I was, and I wasn't very excited before, so I don't know how excited I am now. I was left very underwhelmed previously just because of how such a lack of Undertaker and Brock Lesnar building this match. But I'm expecting something big to go down. I'm not sure what. And I think the intrigue of having just that vague aura of mystery is what's attracting me to the match more than anything else.
Well, if you want to hear further thoughts about that Hell in a Cell matchup as well as the rest of the event, check out our full Hell in a Cell prediction show we'll be doing on this week's Smack Talk on SmartCutMoment.com. Silent Will the Doom asks, presently or ever for Wago's favorite wrestler-manager duo? And you said ever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I would have to say for that. I feel like it would have to be Undertaker, Paul Bearer.
That's a very good one to compare it to.
They're like freaking made for each other. But so is like, you know, so is Paul Heyman and Brock, you know, because I kind of think of how they awkwardly tried to place Paul Bearer with other people like Vader and Mankind, and it just never really had the same, you know, click factor. Same thing with Paul Heyman. I mean, he kind of worked with CM Punk.
Do you know who Heyman works with? He works with people he likes in real life.
Him, yeah, it's true.
Him and Brock are good friends. They're very close, and it works. Same with CM Punk. You can tell they enjoy working together, and that's why it works.
He's good with Big Show, too. But then you think of him with, like, Ryback and Curtis Axel, that bad phase he went through a couple years ago.
Well, you listen to Ryback, like, him personally on that Table for Three and any interview that he does. He and Paul Heyman couldn't be any different, like, personality-wise. So, I think it's something to do with Paul Heyman, like, needing to click with someone on a personal level for him to have success with them.
Oh, so that when the Doom brings up another going, Macho Man and Liz. Oh, not for you, huh?
I think it's a good duo, but I don't always consider valets on the same level as managers. It depends on who it is. Like, Liz was a good sidekick for him.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the other big stars from the past that we had in tonight's show. We had Shawn Michaels, who also really just kind of came out to promote Hell in a Cell. He didn't really have anything specific to do when he first came out. Well, actually, that's true. He got interrupted by Seth Rollins. They had a bit of a face-to-face where Seth Rollins talked about how everyone's saying he's the second coming of Shawn Michaels. But Shawn Michaels says, yeah, well, while you're worried about being the second coming of Shawn Michaels, I was always trying to be the best wrestler of all time. And there was this whole thing about getting them to play your music. Like, Seth Rollins is like, play my music, and it didn't happen. Then Shawn Michaels says to do it, and they played his music.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Kevin, because Shawn Michaels is like, oh, yeah, the issue with being version 2, not the original, nobody plays your music. And I'm just like thinking Kevin Dunn's in the back going, and he's got a board full of pictures of wrestlers that aren't Shawn Michaels. Oh, Seth's on here, can't do it.
That's a really big board. Why wouldn't he just have one picture of Shawn Michaels?
Because it's Kevin. Well, the reason I said it that way is because it's Kevin Dunn.
That's a very good point. See, I was actually figuring, like, maybe Shawn Michaels actually had the nerve to super kick Kevin Dunn one time. Maybe that's why his teeth are all fucked up. Maybe he's just afraid. Oh. Maybe Seth Rollins can give him a curb stomp, though, and maybe that'll straighten them all back out.
Maybe.
What do you think about Shawn Michaels' appearances tonight, though?
I liked his stuff backstage better than his stuff in the ring, as we mentioned before. He was very awkward choking on his pizza. So, I'm such a Shawn Michaels mark where whenever he does anything, I'm going to see it in a better light than it probably is. But I'll gladly admit that bias. But he definitely wasn't on point tonight. But that's fine. He was kind of in a spot where it made no sense, too. It's like, there's a Hell in a Cell match tonight. Sean, you're not involved. Go out there and promote that match.
We got a couple callers on the phone lines waiting patiently. I'm just going to ask you guys to wait just for one more minute while we finish talking about the superstars in the past that were on tonight. We just have one more, and that's Ric Flair. Woof. This guy has just become a shell of himself. We talk about, well, let's just say that anytime he comes out, it's just woo, woo, woo. Does that little walk he does. Woo, styling and profiling. Good night, everybody.
It's bad when I pop more for Zack Ryder's woo than Ric Flair's woo. I'll put it that way.
You know what I'd really like right now? Kurt Angle's woo.
Yeah.
You know what you'd be even better to hear right now? Owen Hart's woo.
Oh, that's depressing.
What'd you laugh at that for?
I'm just like, because you just took it from just like, yeah, I like this guy's woo. I like this guy's woo. Hey, remember that guy that's dead?
Well, I didn't say it like that. Like, I was just trying to, like, make a good memory of Owen Hart. Owen Hart had a good woo.
He did. He did have a good woo. But Ric Flair did not have a good night tonight, and he hasn't had a good night in a long time.
Was he just on a few weeks ago?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the issue. Ric Flair is very good in small doses where he goes crazy and throws his clothes off. But outside of that, Ric Flair doesn't have much left to offer anymore. He's best just being a panelist on some type of pre-show. But the guy is given and given and given, and there's nothing else to give now.
Silent with the Doom is saying it'd be nice to hear Owen say anything. Don't laugh. All right, we're gonna start opening up phone lines here before this gets any worse. The person who's been on waiting the longest, we have a caller from Restricted. Let's see who's calling us from Restricted. Hello, caller, you're live on the air.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yes, my name is Hick from Texas, and
What's your name?
Is Hick from Texas.
Hey, Hick. Dude, can you, like, take the cotton out of your mouth?
I was born that way, sir, so I'm sorry.
You was born with cotton in your mouth?
I was born that way.
Oh.
I've heard of that, cottonmouthitis.
Oh, thanks. No problem.
retard alert! Oh, retard alert, class!
I'm sorry, Chloe, what'd you have to say?
You guys were talking about Owen Hart and Ric Flair. Well, I miss the old days when it was British Bulldog.
John Cena!
I'm sorry, the old
and
days when it was who?
Tito Santana, and it was King Kong.
Tito Santana?
Who the Godfather? I think he's related to John Tumalalala.
Although I did one of his hoes, and it was Hillbilly Jim and One Man Gang, which was a king, and it was Slick, and it was Big Boss Man.
Do you actually have something to say?
Terry Funk.
You put this retard out of his misery.
Let's see. Mm-hmm.
What the fuck was that?
I have no idea what the hell is wrong with him. I think we're, like, doing a good deed by entertaining him. I really think he's got something wrong with him at this point.
All right, let's take on a caller there from the 407 area code.
Can't be
caller
any worse,
from
right?
407. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, you are a fucking Mark.
I'm the head here of the.
Retard alert! Retard alert, class.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Is this the Mech of Power Radio?
No, this is the Scratch My Ass Hour.
I got you guys. This is.
What? Caller? Hello? Oh, we'll never know who it was. That's unfortunate. So we got another caller here.
Oh shit, that was really funny. Peyton's dead.
Yeah. Let's see if this caller is here. Caller from Restricted, you're live on the show.
I forgot to mention Val Venus, Funaki, Hardcore Holly.
Oh, I think he's trying to Life troll us.
And Matt Stryker, the Dungeon of Doom. I gave them.
We'll just come back to that in a little bit.
All right. Have you just like put him in the fucking screen? Right.
Give him a blowjob and a fuck jazz doggy style and I came in Trish Stratus.
What the fuck?
I have no idea what is wrong with that.
Oh, wow. So, if anybody out there wants to make a normal phone call, you can join us on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, area code 760-512-7247, or be hitting the Skype icon at the type of the page. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, let's get back to talking about Raw. We've actually been having some fun talk about this. Our first match we had for the night was The New Day going against the team of the Dudley Boys and John Cena. All of them have had their problems with The New Day the last few weeks. New Day doing their fun New Day thing this week, coming out saying everything is booty in Texas. And they had this whole thing about them being unicorns.
Have you seen their fucking new t-shirts?
Oh, they're fucking horrendous.
Yeah, I know. Like, I guess that promo was to give it relevance, saying that they're unicorns because they bring magic to the WWE.
And then next week they can come out in those shirts and they can make it all clever. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Still doesn't change the fact the shirts are fucking horrendous.
It really has got to be one of the worst shirts that WWE Shop has ever had.
Here's the thing. It's hard for us heels to sell merchandise anyway because everybody fucking hates them. You at least want to make it wearable.
I was at Comic-Con and I saw at least three or four people wearing the New Day logo shirts.
You know what's funny? Out of all the t-shirts that I see in Michigan of people walking to my store, fucking Bo Dallas.
I've seen a lot of Bo Dallas shirts too.
Like, it's so random, and it's like after some of the most unexpected like type people that walk into my store.
You know what I'm really happy to see a lot of is just generic NXT gear.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool that the brand's over, not so much that the wrestlers are over.
Mm-hmm.
It means good future for them. What the fuck was he talking about? New Day?
Oh, yeah, New Day against Dudley Boyz and John Cena. They had a match, right?
Yeah, and I cracked up because as soon as we had Stone Cold, Brock Lesnar, and The Undertaker come out and do their promo, the next guy they put out is John Cena. I'm like, holy fuck, you guys are desperate for like ratings in this first opening hour. It was a solid match. It was fun for what it was. I like that the New Day are just pissing off everybody and kind of what Seth Rollins is doing. It's good to have them have multiple enemies.
That's exactly what they should be, too, because when you have that many people involved in it, they were doing that with Kevin Owens for a while down in NXT, where he had like five or six people who still have a lot of unfinished business with Kevin Owens, by the way.
Which they can finish when they get to the main roster, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Good to do that with New Day as well, especially because it's been getting a little stale with them and the Dudley Boyz. It's been going on a bit long now. We get to see Xavier Woods going through a table again. Poor Xavier Woods. It's always him.
Well, yeah, he's the fall guy. He's the third man. He never wrestles any matches, so he might as well take the table bumps.
That's true. He's probably not going to be wrestling Sunday, so it's good to put him as the guy who's going to take that. He did get the pinfall victory, though. He rolled up D-Von for a surprise pin using what they called was the tights. It's just his...
Yeah, he doesn't really wear tights.
Hey, did you notice John Cena wore camo tonight?
Yeah, he's brought that back. He hasn't worn that in a while.
He did it because he was with the Dudleys, because they're camo.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Did you make that connection?
No, yeah. I didn't.
I actually just made that connection because I did make a note that John Cena was wearing camo. I was like, huh, he hasn't worn that since like that whole Marine thing he did in like 2007. And then I was like, wait a minute, the Dudleys wear camo.
It was kind of nice seeing
him. Oh, that was smart.
It was kind of nice seeing him in something different because the jorts get boring.
Yeah, he shakes it up. Like, I remember he had, like we say, he had the camo. He used to just have the plain khaki shorts. He had the one with that rhino on the butt for a while.
So who the hell is John Cena facing at Hell in a Cell, or is it just an open challenge?
They're actually going to do an open challenge.
I'm assuming he's dropping the title there. I'm not sure who they're going to put up against him, though.
Big rumor swirling around seems to be Tyler Breeze.
Oh, that... Nah, I don't think they'd put it on Tyler.
Why not?
Unless...
Yeah. Like, I think he's going to be a perennial mid-card guy.
Unless there's like... Like, just think, Tyler Breeze beating John Cena, though, they'd have to come up with the ultimate fucking screw job. And I'm not saying they can't, I just don't know what they'd do to give any legitimacy to Tyler winning.
Someone else would have to interfere.
And
that John Cena can feud with when he comes back.
And that takes him out of the U.S. title picture. Yeah, you're right, that's the only thing that can happen. Maybe that's how... Because Ziggler's already lost in his title match, so maybe that's the guy that screws him.
Yeah, whoever... is likely to be John Cena's WrestleMania opponent. Ooh, you know who would be good? Batista.
I think Batista is done with WWE.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is too. I would be too after that last run.
Yeah,
but
like,
I'm saying to say he would be perfect, story-wise.
Yeah, that's true, but I think he's definitely good. He's probably like, yeah, that move is thing. I'm going to keep doing that.
Well, you know, yeah, no, he's good as long as that does well. As soon as he gets like the Tooth Fairy status, I don't think he's sticking around. So we had Divas match with Nikki Bella and Alicia Fox teaming up against Sasha Banks and Naomi. Nikki getting the victory in this with a rack attack pin. Honestly, not a bad tag team Divas match.
I drifted out of this at times, but I will give it credit. It wasn't a bad match by any standards. It was just it's a typical tag match. And I'm glad that they delivered that because we always go in thinking, oh, this is going to suck. So, hats off to them. They need to keep doing this consistently. That's the thing that I want in the Divas division. Consistency. They'll give us glimpses of hopes now and again. And then they'll piss all over it.
We had a good comment in the chat towards the beginning of the show. I wish I could find it. I think it was from Silent Wind of Doom, where he said, the only real note I have is that Naomi's boots changed colors 4 times during the match. That could be a new counter. Those boots are cool. I wish I wasn't old so I could wear those. These fancy young kids with their light-up shoes and their YOLOs.
Man, that might be your most depressing statement you've ever made.
It's okay. It's nothing compared to Miguel's statuses. So we had a match with Ryback against Seth Rollins. This was right after that Shawn Michaels Seth Rollins segment. Seth gets the sneak victory in this.
He delivered a very nice pedigree tonight. I think it's one of his better ones.
Working on Ryback's ribs all throughout the match, which is a smart strategy because he's a guy who's all about his strength and lifting. If you take out his midsection, he's not really going to be able to do that.
Yeah, Seth's definitely showing a lot of old school psychology in some of his more recent matches. But they're also giving him more time to work these days. So I'm enjoying what he's done. I enjoyed this match. It was fun for what it was. But is Ryback meant to be facing Kevin Owens?
You know, I don't think the commentators were even sure because they did kind of mention it briefly. But even the way they said it seemed like it was kind of vague.
Because Ryback's not been looking too strong. Kevin Owens is being on fire. But there's nothing concrete.
He sent the guy out there in a fucking pink singlet. How strong is he going to look?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's take on a caller here. We're going to bring 407 on here. Caller from 407.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, Peyton. Sorry. This is Robert from Awesome Piano Man.
Oh, Awesome Piano Man. What's shaking, dude?
I thought we were going to get Jeff or something.
Yeah, you completely threw me off. Awesome Piano Man, one of our favorite fans. How you doing, dude?
Dude, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to waste airspace like that. I was just trying to do a really good Jeff impression. Or not Jeff.
For a second there, I thought, like, Jeff actually had a friend or something that he brought on to talk to us. I was like, whoa, what the fuck happened?
Wait,
so you're saying the last Jeff was you?
Yeah, or the Mark guy.
Shit. Really?
Wow, you threw me off good.
Yeah, like, I legitimately thought you were Jeff. Oh, hang on.
All right, guys.
This makes sense, though, because Silent Wind of Doom said Jeff made him laugh. Jeff can't make anybody laugh. It was a fucking Awesome Piano Man.
Oh, wow. I feel like a jackass.
Wow. Well done.
No,
dude.
No, not at all, man. I'm sorry.
No, good on you. Very few times could people actually say they got us. So there you go. You did it.
That's cool, man.
So how's been, dude? Really, how's married life treating you, dude?
Oh, no, married life is awesome, man. Just been busy. I actually went over to my sister's house to watch Raw tonight because I was curious what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you think of the show?
Yeah, I wasn't really disappointed. I wasn't disappointed at all, man. It was a good show. I'm really trying to catch up as much as I can because my wife and I and my sister are going to go to Royal Rumble in Orlando.
That's ballsy.
It's definitely really exciting.
That show's had an interesting track record the last couple of years.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's going to be something that really random is going to win, probably like Strowman Reigns or something.
How about that Shield reunion tonight, man? I mean, you picked a good night to randomly tune into Raw if you haven't seen it in a while, because the last few weeks, I don't know if you've heard the show, we have not been very happy with it, but tonight was a turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really taking it as seriously. I've been tuning into the post show, and I know it's like it's been breaking you guys, but I was kind of a little bit falling asleep, just a little bit, and then all of a sudden, when Shawn Michaels was interacting with Seth Rollins and Triple H and Stephanie, I was starting to mark out. I was like, no way. What? What's going on?
It definitely had a few of those moments. Between the glass breaking at the beginning of the show, that little bit of a face-to-face with Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, just seeing Shawn Michaels anymore actually is a cool thing anymore. And that moment with the three members of the Wyatt family and the three members of the Shield face-to-face across from each other.
You know what? You picked a fucking good show like to just randomly hit back up.
Yeah, what good luck.
Maybe I should tune in even more so that way the show is always good.
Oh, if only that could work. If only you had that magic.
Yeah, I know.
So are you going to be trying to catch Hell in a Cell?
I will be. I'll be in D.C. this weekend with my wife. But, I think it's going to be a fun night. I mean, they've been actually having a good track record with their except SummerSlam, but they've been having a good track record with their special events. So we'll probably catch it afterwards.
That's the beautiful thing about the modern age. You can watch it anytime when it's convenient for you.
Yeah, but I can't like I have to catch up with you guys as well too. So.
Oh, you're good, man. We like to keep stuff, our stuff, keep all our stuff on demand too. SmartCoutMoment.com, of course, is that place to find if you don't know where to get it. We have this show, Smack Talk, all the wrestling news that you could possibly want. Great website. And Awesome Piano Man has been a great fan of that, the Raw Post Show, and everything we do here at Mega Powers Radio. We always appreciate you, Rob. It's good to hear from you. I just called you by your real name, and Awesome Piano.
Oh, you guys.
Blowing up your spot. My bad, man.
No worries, man. You're fine.
So, your high point, low point for tonight's show.
High point, I have to say, is the quote unquote Shield reunion. That was awesome. I'd say the low point would definitely have to be Ric Flair. I couldn't take him seriously at all when he was just going. Are we live now? Are we live?
Woo! Did he say that?
Yeah, I missed that. After the commercial break, he was kind of like, are we on? Are we live? Dallas, Texas!
Senior moment for Ric Flair.
Awesome. Hey, it's not as bad as fucking Hogan, like, saying the wrong fucking stadium.
Well, there's worse things Hogan has said, so.
Hogan, man.
Awesome, PM, man. It's always good to hear from you, man. Before we let you go, is there anything else on your mind you wanted to say?
No, I'm good. I appreciate you guys doing for all your hard work, you guys, especially with all the colors that you guys get.
Yeah, we always appreciate your support, man. Again, good job getting us with that phone call. Definitely thought that you were somebody else.
See, if you can actually legitimately get us, we'll give you one praise.
All right, man. You have a good night. We'll catch you around the bend.
All right. Catch you guys later.
All right. Awesome Piano Man, one of our favorite fans. Check out Patreon.com, where Awesome Piano Man supports us. You could get all the love that we just gave Awesome Piano Man if you give generously there. And that's not the only reason why we love him. Awesome Piano Man's a good guy. Longtime commenter on Smack Talk and the Raw Post Show.
Shit, he's been around longer than I've been around.
Yeah, this is true. Speaking of people who have been around for a long time, we got a caller who's been waiting a long time in the queue from the 412... Oh, boy. Caller from 412.
Yeah, you know who this is, guys. What's going on?
Oh, hey, David.
It's not David tonight.
Tonight.
It's your old like
depends on what night it is.
You know what? I got up on the left side of my bed today. I feel like being David. All right, are you going to breathe down the fucking microphone some more, or are you going to fuck off already?
No. I was going to... No, I wasn't. I was going to get my point across to you guys, however. I heard you had a little trouble with a hillbilly earlier. You're not funny, guys. You're not funny at all.
Oh, actually, I find it fucking hilarious, but you're more than welcome to keep going.
No, I think it's funny. It's hilarious, though, that we have a better show than you guys, however, and we do it better.
What?
I guess he had a show.
What? What'd you say? I didn't hear what you were saying. Oh, maybe we can bring him back on. I accidentally muted him. Hello?
Oops, Daisy.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. What were you saying?
I was saying...
Oh, I accidentally hit the hang up button this time. Oh, shit. How do I keep doing that? Oh, well.
Clumsy Michael.
All right, so where the hell did we leave off? Oh, yeah, we're talking about Ryback and Seth Rollins. I think we're done talking about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're going to think about as much as I'm going to say about it now.
Oh, you know what? I can't wait for October to be over. I haven't bitched about it as much this month, or this October, I should say. The whole pink Susan G. Komen bullshit. Which, honestly, they haven't been as in-your-face with it as they have in previous years.
I'm glad, because it's such a bad, bad company. And we've mentioned it before. Every time that they talk about it, we're going to talk about the truth about it. The money does not go to who it should go to. It's going to the guys that run it.
And it's especially heinous because they just did one of these awareness things last month with that Connor's Cure and making everything yellow.
I love it when they do take the initiative and like do something like this, make their own fund and promote that. just stay away from these third-party people, because there's so many crooked organizations, and they picked one of the most crooked.
I really don't understand how they could make that same mistake years in a row. I understand the first year, it's like, all right, well, you know, we're wrestling, and a lot of people might not want to partner with us, so we got to go with who we got to, and this is a big company. Let's see how we can make this work.
Now,
but 4 years later, they're still selling these stupid fucking t-shirts.
Well, you know they're going to fucking keep doing it now because CM Punk spoke out about it.
I was actually shocked they kept doing it just because they had their Connor's Cure thing, and I thought that was going to be their thing now.
It should have been that thing. I don't really see why they need to... Like, I'm glad that they think they're helping people, but they're really not with the Sarah G. Coleman. Or Susan G. Coleman. Whatever. I don't give a shit who that bitch is.
Oh, I gotta catch up on the fucking chat room here. Silent Wind of Doom apparently dropped a bunch of bombs. Awesome Piano Man stole my pseudonym. We don't need it anymore, Bell. I don't know. Silent Wind of Doom was excited to see Awesome Piano Man. That's good news. We had our Ric Flair segment. Oh, we had a six-man tag on Raw. That's a big fucking surprise. Dolph Ziggler and Cesaro and Neville teamed up to go against Rusev, King Barrett, and Sheamus.
Do you know when Tony goes, I don't remember this match happening? Mm-hmm. I'm having one of those moments, but I want to say...
Is King Sheamus was in it?
I want to say King Barrett bullhammered Neville.
That's actually exactly what happened.
Okay, we're good then.
This was not bad, but I mean, when you have this many storylines trying to cross paths, especially when I thought this whole Rusev and Dolph Ziggler thing was over with.
Okay, who's Sheamus feuding with? That's the biggest issue here. This wasn't a bunch of feuds going on. This was King Barrett and Neville, who had beef, didn't have beef, kind of have beef, and now have beef again.
Well, I thought King Barrett had beef with Stardust. That's what makes this even more confusing.
Yeah, like, there's no fucking consistency or logic in this. I think they're trying to keep Sheamus on the down low because they're wanting to do the cash in soon.
They were, because they were laying on that heavy for a while, and now they just kind of disappeared with it.
So I'm going to take it that's why he's just thrown into this position. But what the fuck is Barrett and Neville doing? They had a feud at the beginning of the year. Barrett transitioned to another feud with Stardust. Now he's back in the same fucking feud.
Why is he only saying Sheamus is feuding with the Money in the Bank?
That's not accurate, actually.
Silent with the Doom saying, isn't that what the Survivor Series pay-per-view is supposed to be built around? And you're right. You know, it's okay to do that for a big Survivor Series match if you have a bunch of feuds that are meaningful and you can pull that off. That's not what this is. And this also isn't the Survivor Series. This is just a tag match, playa.
So next month, do you think we get the just random tag matches, or is it going to be another whole authority there's babyface run thing again?
You're talking about for the tag match?
Yeah. Because they're only going to do one tag match. That's all they fucking do now.
No, they usually do two. They do one for the men, one for the women.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one that's going to matter, though.
And actually, I wouldn't be surprised if they did one with the tag teams.
I hope so, unless they're a part of the main one.
That's true. You
could New Day and Dudley's are getting a push now. I'd like to put them on the upper mid-card level.
Yeah, you could put like New Day and Seth Rollins and, I don't know, someone else to go against John Cena, Dudley's, and I don't know, whoever. I was thinking maybe have the Wyatts against somebody. That would be a good Survivor Series, because I remember that was something people were begging for at one of them when Wyatt Family was on the poster. They could have done Wyatts versus Shield, and they didn't do it.
I know, such a missed opportunity, and it's funny. That pay-per-view has a lot of potential, and we've got a lot of teams where we can make it happen again. I just don't know why they've got such a phobia to what it used to be.
I think it's just too much a relic of the past, and if that's the case, just kill it.
Yeah.
You know, we got months to talk about that. We're going to be having a whole month of build to the Survivor Series for us to bitch about the placement of it. We had another Divas match, Brie Bella versus Charlotte. I think somewhere between that six-man tag and this is where Raw kind of dipped down for a bit.
This was the third hour, right?
This was the crossover to the third hour, yeah. This is also where we had that Ric Flair segment.
I'm just saying, if... Like, I'm not sure if it's the third hour just sucks because it's the third hour, or if it sucks because what they're putting on sucks. They do seem to deliver so much stronger in the beginning of the show. I just think it'd help if they flipped it around. The fans are excited at the beginning of a show. They're having a hard time finding stuff to cheer for by the end of the night.
I mean, that's what it used to be. When Raw was 2 hours, the first hour was the slower hour. The second one was where it was really ramped up. Now it's completely flipped upside down.
They don't have a formula for 3 hours, and I don't think they're even trying to figure one out. I think they're just doing whatever works that week.
Well, to be fair, it's a lot of TV to write every week. You don't even have a chance to try to figure a formula.
I know it's a lot of TV, but isn't that more of a reason that you'd want a formula?
Yes.
It's
why you want a formula.
Simplify this shit.
Yeah, but then people would complain about Raw being too formulaic.
I'm okay with that. Raw was good when it was formulaic.
Yeah, this is true. Raw opening, pyro, Stone Cold comes out, stun somebody, go to commercial, come back, women get half naked, go to commercial. Those are good days.
You knew what you were in for.
Oh yeah, we had some half naked women here with Brie Bella and Charlotte, but this match sucked.
Yeah, it did. And it's funny, I was talking to you in the chat and I'm like, oh, this show is great, and oh, fucking yeah, Charlotte to ruin it.
Hey, Tony's in the chat room. He's saying the show is glitching. Hey, Tony, I'm going to guess that it's glitching because you're probably uploading the Star Wars episode, so your connection's probably shit.
Also, yes. You're a hippie liberal douchebag and didn't do the show, so go fuck yourself.
No, he was doing that Star Wars trailer thing, though. Which, I got to catch that Star Wars trailer. I don't know if you did. Pretty badass.
I'll have to check it out. Like, I like Star Wars, but I'm not a super fan, and I don't see why people are super fans of it. But each to their own.
It's fucking Star Wars, dude.
Yeah,
it's got Yoda and shit.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks is pretty red.
Okay, well, you know, we like wrestling and people could come up and say Mantar.
And Tony had put it on a bull list and it didn't count.
Okay, good save. Well, you know what the saving grace of this match was? Was when we went backstage and we saw Paige and her boobs.
Paige.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and get that dirty about it. Someone else in the chat room was talking about that too. Like, as soon as the show went on, I was like, woo, Paige's tits.
You know what? Her tits were on point, but so were her promo skills tonight.
Holy shit, that was good.
It was like she just turned up. Hey, Renee, your question? Yeah, fuck that and fuck you. Bye. I was like, wow, okay.
I don't even know who the people she was referencing was, but I could tell she definitely burned Renee.
You know what, though? Michael Cole knew, and he cracks up on microphone.
Oh, yeah.
He went, and I was like, oh, wow.
Well, Michael Cole's a journalist, you know, so he knows a lot of those news peoples. And Renee got that really offended bitch face, mm-hmm. You know? Like, she's probably going to, like, find some way to get her back and, like, put some nasty goo in her locker or something.
She had it coming, because it's very rare that we see one of these broadcasters and just fucking interviewers get that aggressive with their interviewee.
Wazili dropping knowledge on us. He's saying Sally Jesse Raphael was an old talk show host. I thought it was a Ninja Turtle. Aaron Andrews is a sports journalist on ESPN.
Okay, so did she write that shit herself or did someone else?
I don't picture Paige watches ESPN.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that might have been written for her, but it was good material nonetheless.
She definitely did good tonight, especially after we've been complaining a lot about how bad Paige's skills on the mic have been.
I fucking hate her when she does this. She's so inconsistent that I'll go on a month of hating her, and then she'll give me something that reminds me of, oh yeah, there's a reason we loved you in NXT.
Silent Doom saying, wow, finally saw a picture of Paige from tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, worth seeing, must say. We had a matchup between Kevin Owens and Mark Henry. It wasn't a total squash for Mark Henry, so I was happy to see that. That's been what he's been kind of relegated to lately. He actually got a good amount of offense in here, which made it look that much better when Kevin Owens made the comeback and hit him with a massive pop-up powerbomb. It really just kind of like flew by. That's a shame that that moment wasn't something bigger, because that was a sight to see. Kevin Owens looking like a beast. Good for him, looking strong as the Intercontinental Champion.
I agree. I couldn't half help but think, shouldn't this be one of his big title defenses that are built up?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you got Mark Henry for like another year or two. Make use of him. Even if he's losing, make his losses mean something.
Build him up on the weeks before. Put him against guys like your Kevin Owenses, your Cesaros, etc. And make him look good. He can still be a useful guy, but he's just lost in obscurity. And this moment should have been so much more. That powerbomb was sick, and it got lost in the shuffle.
And kudos to both of them, because I'm not a wrestler. I don't know all the sciences behind every move. But when I look at that move, I think a lot more of the work is on the guy receiving the powerbomb, I would assume, yes?
In that case, you get to a certain point where the guy can post you up, and Mark had to jump quite high for that, so hats off to him.
Mark. Talking about him like he's your friend. Well, at least you're not talking about The Undertaker like that.
Mark Henry's a mouthful. Giggity.
And O. Henry is. Oh, man, it's almost Halloween. Time for some candy. Well, that was an ADD moment.
We're going to talk about Paige again?
Oh, shit. That's the end of the show. We already talked about Shield and Wyatt Family.
Oh, damn. We ended it on Mark Henry.
Well, and Kevin Owens, technically.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, with that, we have one thing left to do, and that is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most god-awful, embarrassing part of the show was. If you're in the chat room, drop your good, bad, and ugly, and we'll read it. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Wago, you got a good, bad, and ugly for tonight?
So my good is going to have to go to the ending segment between the Shield and the Wyatts. A lot of moving parts, but it was a lot of fun, and it sold Hell in a Cell, and that's what it needed to do. I don't have any issue with it, and I think it's something that they've been lacking, and they finally delivered tonight. Bad goes to Ric Flair's involvement. Ugly goes to his skin.
My good, I am also going to give to the Shield and the Wyatt Family. What an excellent main event to have had for tonight's show. I mean, the crowd was into it. I don't know how anybody watching couldn't have been into it. It was one of the best Raw moments of the year. Bad, I have to give to that Brie Bella versus Charlotte match, with the exception of whenever we went back to check in on Paige. Those were good times. And the ugly, I'm going to give to Ric Flair as well. Shame, the guy is one of the most legendary people of all time, but whew. We got Tony dropping in the chat room saying, good, awesome piano man calling in, the bad, David calling in, and the ugly, David turning out to be JD. Silent One to Doom saying, good, I missed the first Divas match and asked what I missed. My friend Steph said she changed her boot color 3 times. They said it was 4 times. Changing shit. Bad, Undertaker's forehead hat mark. Yeah, that was kind of awkward. Didn't point that out, but I did remember seeing that.
It's not as awkward as that time he tried to shuffle the fucking hood off his head and it got stuck.
It got stuck on his stubble. It wouldn't come off. I love that gif that made it into the L'Oreal commercial.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
And the ugly for him saying, the last thing I ever need to think of is Bray Wyatt getting off. Thanks, Roman. Oh, he did say a line about that, didn't he? You get off on that, don't you?
Yeah, he did. But you know what? At least it wasn't as offensive as Austin saying Dallas like 20 times.
Dallas.
Dallas.
Oh, Kofi Kingston broke the realm of PG.
He did say ass.
He said ass!
And they can't because they're the New Day.
Yeah, that's why. Because they're the New Day, they can do that. I don't have a fave commercial because all the commercials that I saw tonight were stuff I saw before. So I'm going to give another shout out to that Tomcat one.
With Jesus the mice Christ.
Because I still see that. I'm just like, wow, how did this get past like the people who have to approve this stuff? So we're going to call things out here. We're not going to do any games tonight since it's a small cast. We will resume them next week. Matter of fact, I have a new game I want to try next week. So make sure you tune in and listen to the whole show for that. With that, we got business to take care of, and that is telling people what else they should be checking out from us. So, Wago, what's good in the world of Wago?
If you enjoyed me as a part of this two-man band tonight, you can check me out on Twitter at Stephen Wago. That's Stephen spelt with a P-H. Go to StephenWago.com, which will take you to my Tumblr page, where you can find all my corresponding social URLs, etc.
All right, and if you enjoy this edition of the Raw Post Show here in Mega Powers Radio, you should join us every single Monday night following Raw by tuning into MegaPowersRadio.com, and you'll be hearing us through your browser. However, if you can't join us live, we are available in a number of archive means on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and links to all these can easily be found on our home on SmartOutMoment.com, which is also the home of the Smack Talk podcast and lots of other cool wrestling content, way cooler than WrestlingContent.com. So check that out there. And check out all the other cool content at MegaPowersRadio.com, SmartOutMoment.com, FanboysAnonymous.com, KeepingKayfabe.com, StephenWago.com, DrewCrew.com, HappyPope.com, PremierePals.com, all the other crazy shit we're doing. I don't know if those are actual websites. I just kind of made .coms towards the end there.
I'm pretty sure there's a few invalid URLs, but it's good.
All right, folks. If you enjoyed this, we'll see y'all next week, hopefully, for Stephen Huego. My name is Mike Payton, and we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.